Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Lever and Neil and Kristen Baker's Psychic Hour. Well, we are here on the air. We started a little bit early today just to make sure that our show didn't disappear from the homepage, which it didn't. But you know what's funny is that it shows up because of the banner. It says the top of our graphic, it sounds like it's the Neil and Kristen Baker, or it looks like it's the Neil and Kristen Baker show. Rather, it should maybe be the Psychic Hour with Neil and Kristen Baker. It doesn't really matter. No, it does have the title on the bottom. It's fine. But anyway, but it's funny that it displays that way. The Neil and Kristen Baker.
Yeah. Well, because they put it in bold print.
Yeah.
We
put it in bold print.
Oh.
That's our graphic. I made that, surprisingly, as clumsy as I am with the computer, I was able to do it. I managed. Anyway, okay, so we are on the air and we are showing it live. We were having some problems with that last week, so we managed to retain our spot on the live page. And we've got a couple of callers, so we're going to bring those callers on in just a minute. Our call-in number is 914-338-0164, and please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Also, you may join us on Facebook and on Twitter. We hope that you do. Those pages are linked via our Blog Talk Radio profile page. Were you going to say something else? I can.
No.
But I like how you're forming your lips.
No, I was trying to decide what's more proper, on the air or in the air. I guess
on the air.
This is spiritual. It's in the air. You're not really on.
Well, on air is typically.
It doesn't matter.
We lost a caller.
Oh, good. We're accomplishing our goals.
Jeez.
Yeah.
No, it's on air. That's typical.
I know that's typical. On the air. You're on the air.
Phrase for when you're broadcasting
but
on a radio
really,
show.
I mean, when you think about it, air is really a strange term to be. You know, you're on the radio. You're on the mic. You're on, you know, the air. Because they
airwaves.
Say the airwaves. But anyways... maybe it's a surfing term, boating term.
Perhaps. Well, we did have one person stick with us before they leave, or before that person leaves, rather. I've got to speak proper English here. Let's bring him or her on, probably. It's a woman. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thanks. How are you? Who's this, please?
Oh, sorry. My name is Arian, and I'm from California.
Okay. Can you spell your name for us?
A-R-I-E-N-N-E.
Oh, okay. In California.
Yes.
So you were a first
and
time
I just
caller. I think I remember that name.
Yes, a very, very first time caller.
Well, welcome. What brings you here?
Well, we recently just moved to California from Montana, big move, and we're a little put off or set off, basically, from all the riots and everything, you know, so everything is not falling into place as planned.
What part of California are you in? What part of California are you in?
San Bernardino.
I was just going to say southern. Southern, that's, and you moved from a big area in Montana, or a smaller?
smaller. It's called Great Falls. Basically little to nothing there. But I've been coming here on and off for years because my friend that I've had since grade school lives up here.
Okay.
So we're staying with her because she's pregnant and this is our second kid. She needs a little bit of help, and we were wanting to come up here anyway, so we're staying with her.
Okay.
But my question was, is if you guys, when you guys see anything falling into place for us, because I honestly, looking at it how it is right now, I don't have a lot of hope.
Right. So you're helping your friend. Are you with your boyfriend or husband?
Yes. Yes, my boyfriend and my son. He is 8 months.
Oh, a son too?
Yes.
And you're staying with friends because you're helping her out. She's having her second child, but you want
yes.
things to fall in place for you. So I'm assuming that means that you're still looking for work.
Yes. My boyfriend recently got a job with Amazon, and he starts the 8th. But basically, yes, for me and work and when we're going to be able to get our own place here or if we are.
And you have a son.
Your
son is 8 months, you said?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I'm a young mama. I'm 20.
Oh, you're 20. Okay, so let's get your birth date.
2/11/00.
Okay. And what's your boyfriend's birthday?
His is 01/26/98.
You don't want to add, here I am adding in. 1/26/98. You don't want to add a zero where it doesn't exist because a zero implies a lack of energy. So a zero, adding that zero to the one. I mean, I know sometimes like in the military they use all the numbers even if there's no
right.
zero there really. But in numerology you don't want to do it. And then what's your boyfriend's birthday? I mean your son's birthday.
9/25/19.
19. So 36/9 is your boyfriend is 22 years old, right? 22.
Yes, ma'am.
Nine. And your boy is a 28/10/1. So she had a change when she was 6.
Yeah.
You had a change. By the way, when you were 6 years old, any big change in your life that you recall?
Yes, we moved from Florida to Tennessee. My mom and dad broke up when I was at a young age. And that was probably one of the biggest things for me, because my dad, that's the last time that he was in my life.
Okay. That was when, I'm sorry, your dad was in your life then, but is it now?
Yes.
Is that the thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you
Once
lost.
We moved, it was like the last of
his father. And what's interesting is that, I mean, it's been 14 years since you had your change. Your boyfriend is 22 years old, and his master number is 9. So his big change is going to come at the age of 36.
27.
Wait, did I add it up wrong? 6, 7, 8, 9, 19. Are you sure?
Yeah. He's a 27. He's a 26. Okay. 80.
No, 1998.
Oh, when was he born?
1998. January 26, 1998.
Okay, my mistake. Okay, go ahead.
So, well, it's funny because we have the same master number, but a different karmic number. But it's actually when he's 36 years old, he's going to have a big change. So that's a ways off for him.
Okay.
But what's interesting, and then your son is 8 months old. I mean, he has quite a ways to go. And you can see the connective energies between all of you guys. Your boyfriend holds your master number and your month in his day. Your son holds holds your boyfriend's master numbers and his first and last numbers. I mean, there's all kinds of connective things going on.
But yeah, that's crazy.
What I find interesting, particularly interesting, and then the month, your month is your boy's day, the first day, two, and also your year. So there's all kinds of stuff going on. But I find it interesting that she's asking about a move, and her big change, which is that age of six, involves a move. So it's funny that there's some connection going on there.
Right.
Regarding work for you, since you have an eight-month-old, are you planning on part-time?
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely.
Because you have to care for your son and...
Daycare is an arm and a leg.
Yeah. Or is there any way that you'd be able to work it out to have your boyfriend take care of the son while you're working, or, you know?
That's what we planned, is he works nights and I would work days.
Okay. So,
I don't think it's a mistake you made here. I think it was part of your journey. Just to jump forward, if I look into the future, 3 months from now, you guys are doing okay. So 3 months from now, you seem to be doing okay. Now, if we come back to the present moment, if you're saying, I made a mistake, we shouldn't have come here, what's going on? You didn't make a mistake.
Definitely.
You didn't make a mistake. So the journey you're in, it proves that there's going to be complications, because when you had your change in life, you moved, your family moved, and that prompted separation of the family, your dad.
Yeah.
But you came in with a lot of karma.
Relationship karma. And it's actually, sorry to interrupt you, sorry, but it's evident in your birth date, because you have an 11 in your day, and your birth date is essentially composed of twos and zeros, but go ahead. And that's the second chakra is the relationship chakra.
So you're on a karmic journey, and your friend is part of the magnet that brings you here. She's pregnant. So it's sort of a tribal thing. It's a migration. I wouldn't worry about it that much, because I think that things are going to fall into place, considering that you all play your part and be responsible and looking for work and that kind of thing. I do see you getting a two-bedroom apartment, so that's going to come into play. Is your boyfriend, he's working at Amazon, but does it demand that he be here in California in order to work for Amazon?
Yes, he's going to, wait, sorry, could you repeat that last part?
Your boyfriend, he's working for Amazon, but is that also strategic to the location of where he lives?
Yes.
Does he work in a warehouse, or
Yes, the warehouse. He works
in the warehouse.
So is his income? Is his income relatively give you a good foundation for survival?
Yes, it's a good income. That's one of the reasons why.
I wouldn't worry about.
Are you going to try to? I mean, you said you're helping your friend, but probably you're going to feel better when you're in your own space.
Yes, definitely. I don't like living off of people. I'm not really living, she isn't mine, but it's just me. I don't like, having to walk on eggshells, basically,
You're in someone else's space, and you're, it's that
exactly
line of trying to be respectful of the space.
It could be as soon as July, it might be August. Between July and September, you'll probably find an apartment there. I think it's going to be a two-bedroom. That's my feeling.
All right. That's funny. I was actually, right before I called you guys, I was online looking at two-bedroom apartments.
And San Bernardino is San Bernardino, what they're famous for are the mountains, because they're near the mountains.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
The city itself has a lot of crime in it. It's not a particularly pleasing city, but that doesn't matter. You're not going to be affected by that.
Freaky.
I don't think you have a problem. I think I see a two-bedroom we might be conservative and say it would be August or September. Don't panic. There's a if you ever in your life ever interested, not that you went and pursued it, but were you ever interested in child psychology?
Oh, yes, definitely. Most definitely. Actually, I love children, and I've been told multiple times that I'm meant to work with children.
Yeah. So in the more distant future, you might want to think about getting a degree, because I'm picking up that your DNA code would make you a great child psychologist or child therapist, something like that line. And in today's world, it's not as difficult to get a license or a degree.
Right, you can do it online.
You can do it online. So think about
that.
You also might want to find a job where you are a caretaker to a child.
Caretaker, or you can even do
preschool. Or work in a facility or something like that. Preschool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, that's really funny. I actually, when we were in Montana, I was looking for jobs like that, and nothing worked out.
Okay, and I want to ask you one other question, and I don't mean to get too personal, but would you say would you consider yourself a little bit overweight?
Yeah, I'd say so, a little bit.
Okay.
I'm 5 foot, and I weigh like 160 after I had my kid. I was like 120 when I got pregnant.
Five foot,
116. And 116?
160.
Okay,
Not much. But is there any heart disease in your family, any asthma, anything like this?
Yes, heart problems. And I actually, when I was pregnant, I got a blood clot in my lung. And I was diagnosed with a rare blood disorder called MTHFR.
Oh.
And I had to get blood thinner shots, and my big pregnant belly, it was bad. It was really scary.
Yeah, I'm picking it up in your voice. I can analyze it. I can hear a voice and analyze medical things in there. So it's coming out of your voice. So it's not, I don't perceive on a psychic level it's going to give you too much problem, but you might want to take off about 6 pounds.
Okay.
Which is it now?
All right. Yeah, I'm not in the healthy. I also picked up smoking again, and yeah, definitely have to work on my health.
So 6 pounds is
not a big deal, but you know the blood disease is concerning.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that affect you on your day to day, in your day to day life? Obviously, when you're pregnant, it's probably with more of a concern. But
now that I'm not pregnant, I do still have a little bit of PTSD. Like, it really scared me. So afterwards, after I had him, I was a freak about everything. I was a freak about my health and his health. But now it doesn't really affect me as much. It's just more anxiety and mental, because it scared the shit out of me. but I'm okay. You know, it's 8 months now, and I don't freak out as much. But definitely anxiety. That's mostly it. But I know that if I ever try to get pregnant again, I have to be put on blood thinner shots and everything else. Because what it does is it slows your blood. My blood is slower than everybody else's already. And when mixed with pregnancy, it slows even more, which causes blood clots, and then so on and so on.
So they put you on blood thinners?
Yes. I was on blood thinner shots all the way up until my son was 2 months old.
And now you're not.
Being like 28 weeks pregnant. No.
You don't have to.
They checked my blood count, and it was all good.
Here's the advice I'm giving you, because in considering that I analyze voices and pick up stuff, you know, a lot of your condition, not all of it, but a lot of it's stuff caused by anxiety. So there's a lot of, you tend to worry too much and panic. So, am I right?
Yes, and MTHFR actually, it causes, because you don't produce vitamins, your brain doesn't work as properly as it should, so it also usually causes chronic anxiety or chronic depression. And
Well, you're intelligent. I get that about you. You're intelligent, but you've got to start training your mind to release your anxiety. You're worried. You're overboard, aren't you? And it comes from your immediate environment, from your upbringing. And your mom was probably going out. Your mom was probably an anxious person too.
Oh God, yeah.
And did she? Was your mom a smoker?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
She smokes about a pack a day, so I get on to her about it.
Well, no, but this is all coming out of your voice. I'm getting this just from your voice. When psychics analyze voices, it goes to a different degree of energy.
Right.
That's really cool. Yeah. So in analyzing this, I can also give you a psychic interpretation as to how to make yourself
healthier.
How to
deal with it.
Release your too much anxiety. You're overboard. You've built too much from your experience of learning. Not good thing.
Yeah.
So that will release it. You know, drink. You know, they say cranberry juice. You know, but I'm getting that anyway.
Well, cranberry juice. If you're going to drink cranberry juice, really, you should drink the pure cranberry juice and then dilute it with water or like a really high quality apple juice. That's what they say. Do you have any dancing in your background? Any dance experience or?
I was in a lot of dance groups as a kid. I was in like youth group and we do dances in front of the church and whatnot. But I do like dancing, just not in front of people anymore.
But you did in your past because I was picking that up. Okay, so that's a validation. All right. Well, so there's no reason to worry. Things look good according to our forecast here for you.
Thank you guys so much. Really, thank
you're
you.
Oh, yeah, follow us. Follow us on Facebook.
I will, definitely.
Yeah, we would love
thank
that.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. Take care.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, it's a crazy time to move across the country, you know, especially with everything that's going on. And obviously, probably at the time she moved, coronavirus was happening, but then now the riots and
well, the great looting. You know, great migrations usually occur most time out of turmoil.
Yeah, true.
So, this isn't a mass migration.
This isn't a mass migration.
But she could have come from a past life of mass migration. Probably did.
Okay. Well, our other caller dropped and we have a big space time again. But we are showing on the homepage, which is good. So we did not disappear today.
Well, you know, there's usually when we experience changes in our life, the first rule of thumb is to say, okay, this is on my map. I got to consider that this is on my map and I'm doing this for a reason, and it may be part of the karmic channel or it could be part of the transcendent channel of my life, or maybe it's a mixture of both. They both go hand in hand. Sometimes if it's purely karmic, what it means is that you're making a move to resolve an issue. You're resolving something, you're clearing something, you have to go through something. For the most part, it's not going to be pleasant. But what the origin of the move and the unpleasant experience ultimately establishes is that you clear the karma. So if you do it all right, you clear it. And then you can move into the next zone. So potentially, every karmic episode has a suggestion of transcendence in it, because once you clear it up, you're able to move forward. If you don't clear it up, then then it can be unfortunate. It can last longer. It can follow you wherever you go. Some karma is conditioned by a time limitation, and then some are unconditioned. Some are unconditional. They're limited to a time duration, and some are conditional, meaning that the human being getting through the karma can make it quicker by doing the right thing.
Well, and this caller was 16 years away from her, I believe, right? She's a 36-9. Yeah. She's all done with her karma, but her boyfriend, sorry about that. He's how many years? 14 years away from his karmic change. So that's an interesting point, actually. I mean, she had a severe change at the age of 6, but she's in her transcendent phase. However, her boyfriend and, of course, her son are still deep in their karma.
The connection between the boyfriend and her is that he's 22 years old.
Which is the...
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
Explain that.
So in her first... Well, I mean, it goes... In fact, through her whole birth date, she is 22.
Karma.
Well, just in the karmic phase, is 22. So the two ones are a 2, 11,
so that would be
22.
So,
but also in the year and the day and the year and the month, there's 22s going on everywhere.
And that would suggest that they are
karmic
connection. They have a karmic connection. So their being together has karma intensity as well. And the fact that the son has a 9-2, which is an 11,
which is the day.
Which is, the day of the mother. So they're all, they're a triad. They're a tribe of individuals coming from the same fabric of past life. They've all been through this before. And probably that journey wasn't completed. So now roles are somewhat reversed. I don't think they're in the same order as they were before, but they're somewhat reversed now because in all actuality, the mother has the lowest
numbers
karmic on. Number towards master number. And she's
what do you
just
mean?
Appearing 6.
Oh, you mean
there's 6.
There's no reduction.
Yeah. The son
is compounded.
Compounded. So the son is an older soul. The son is a 10 equals 1. Well, so the master number is 1, but there's a 10 in there, which even supersedes the boyfriend's master number of 9. So the son and the father have a strong connection because there's something that
the
son is responsible for. The father is responsible toward the son for karma. The mother is bringing the son into the world. And, of course, there's all kinds of value systems going on there as well.
Right. Well,
but there's a karmic, unfinished karmic business between the father and the son.
And that's evident by the fact that the karmic number of the son is held in the month of the father. And vice versa, the father's karmic number is held in the son's month and in the last number in the year. Of course, the mother holds the son's karmic number in her day.
Right. They're all connected.
But there's more intensity between the father and the son in terms of a karmic debt or karmic connection.
Yeah, their 6 and 5 becomes an 11, which is the mother.
Mother's
and
day.
Then their numbers together, 9 and 1 becomes 10, which is actually the son's, I don't know if she's still listening.
No, she may be listening on the radio, on the computer.
Oh.
But one other thing, which I just noticed, you keep looking at the birth dates and things pop out. The father and the son, when you align the days, there's a 6 and 5, as you mentioned, but also there's a 22, which is the first two numbers in the, I mean, the month and the day of the mother, the 2 and the 2.
Yeah.
So it's intense.
So it is.
And the 9 and the 1 become a 10, which is it goes back to the karmic number of the sun.
But the issue.
Actually, there's 9 and 1
we
repeat.
We don't know about the father, or we don't know about the father, I mean her boyfriend, but the fact that her father disappeared from her life is crucial to the dynamic of karma. So, and then the mother, picking up the mother's a chain smoke, a smoke.
Well, yeah, and then the fact that the father left abandoned at the karmic change. I mean, that was ultimately what led to their separation, shows that there's a serious issue going on with.
So in finding, and this is kind of rare today, in today's world, because finding a man that is being responsible, he's a boyfriend, they haven't gotten married yet, but finding a man who's a boyfriend, who's willing to take on a woman and a child and get a job, this is changing her karma around. is changing her karma around. Now the attitude here would be, God willing, that the boyfriend stays intact in the family dynamic. It moves into a formation of marriage to make it legal, which changes all the rules and laws of what couples are about, because most courts recognize legally a marriage than they do just
a common law situation.
They have a child, so that makes it a little bit more complicated. But my suggestion is they get married. So, but again, the even the dynamic that they're not, which may be held accountable to many different reasons, but one reason is that her loss of father is somewhat incorporated into that they're not married yet. And there may be other reasons that, but it still is part of the dynamic and fabric of how this will evolve, and this woman will have her whole life changed in time. The attitude that is nice about her karma is that it wraps up to a four, which is balance and heart. That's good. And then the two represents relationships.
And of course, she's a mother, very young age, 20 years old.
Yeah. And then the year of the child, it amounts to a 12, which is her first two numbers inverted, as well as the father.
Yeah.
So, so she and her boyfriend have the same first two numbers. They're just inverted.
Yeah.
They're just inverted. And 8, 9, and it's 9 and a 4, which is a 13, which comes to back being a 4 again. So their union is supposed to establish
balance
and heart. That's what it's supposed to be. 17, 18, 19. And then their year to become a 19 or a 10, which is a child. And we have a pretty good package going on in there.
Okay.
But the idea that...
not allowing me to post the radio show. It's really weird. I'm sorry. I'm distracted because I'm to authorize Blog Talk Radio as a app on our Facebook page. It's not letting me post the show from our Blog Talk Radio page suddenly. It's not allowing it. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Anyway, sorry for that interruption. But
you know, when we talk about, we deal with a lot of clients who are in the midst of change in terms of location.
Yeah.
They live here or there,
or
move back where they came from, or leave from where they're accustomed to living. Sometimes travel and change is pretty simple. 1 + 1 = 2. We're moving. We're really happy. It's all good. There's no question about it. Sometimes ambiguity steps in. Usually when ambiguity steps in, there's a mystery about transition. What is this transition about? There's a mystery. Is it good? Is it bad? Compelling reasons. Sometimes it's just in the psychological stage, should we move or shouldn't we move? Sometimes it's in the immediate physical stage. We're moving, but we don't understand why. It will be forced to move. And sometimes that's from one location to another in terms of maybe a radius of 10 miles, more or less 1,000 or 2,000, or across the world. Our migrations are connected to our past life connections. And our past life connections have an interconnected route system to different parts of the globe.
Right. So and frequently, and even if there's not a solid move in terms of, like, you know, packing up all your things and living in a different location, travel to different locations where past lives occurred is
where past
common.
Lives occurred. So take the example of somebody recently we dealt with, without naming any names whatsoever, but living for a year in Africa and then moving to New York at the age of 1. What is that about? Why is that? The dynamic of how long we live in a certain area of the map is contingent upon the karma we have left to spend there. It could be a day, it could be a year, it could be 10 years. It doesn't, sometimes it's connected to past life, oftentimes it is, or to our master number, or to a cycle in our life. But we, when we come back to the planet, it's sort of like, in the best of terms, the world is our oyster. We are the pearl within the clam that is, that we're the whole world. We are building upon our position of location, the attitude of why we came back. And sometimes it's in reverse. Our moves going forward are much more important than the established place of where we lived. So we often get into the idea of why do people sometimes move? And they have their dreams are ahead of them. They move. And then they're establishing their new location. They go to the store for groceries and they are a fatal in a hit run situation or head on condition.
You know,
all of this is part of the karma. It can be crucially cruel.
We always like to talk about uplifting subject matter.
Well, it's to explain it, the drama of it. Can be reduced down to something a little more temperate or lukewarm, to why we are compelled to go to places to fulfill a certain karma, or why we are in a certain place when things occur.
And to relate it back to the caller that we just dealt with, I mean, she's coming to California in time that there's a great deal of turmoil. So there's obviously some kind of karma going on with her move to California, and the fact that it's not a totally smooth transition, because moves can be smooth. Drama and turmoil is not always involved in relocating. Some people relocate and it's, you know, a much better situation than where they were coming from. But what's happening with her, I mean, and there's a dramatic change in the type of location. San Bernardino is a much larger community than the place that she's coming from. So it's dramatic insofar as she came from a small town into San Bernardino crime ridden. Now there's rioting going on.
Well,
and she's sheltering in, you know, the home of a friend. What were you going to say? Sorry.
Also, geographically speaking, I'm impressed by the close proximity to mountains.
Yeah.
And Montana has
mountains.
I don't know if her specific location had mountain range that she saw. Of course, when you're living
there's
in
a lot
LA,
of plains and mountains. Plains in Montana, though, too, weren't there?
Yeah, but we have. I'm not sure with her where she lived in terms of the proximity to a mountain.
What did she
range.
Say? Great Falls. Montana?
I think so.
I didn't write it down.
But when, you know, there's a definition, mountain folk, people who live in the mountains, or desert people. We sometimes are regionally described by our location.
Great Falls, by the way. It is a...
Now, I would think there's mountains there.
I'm looking.
Great Falls is not going to be. There's got to be some kind of mountain range there.
It looks pretty flat. I mean,
there's a mountain over there.
That's a hill.
Well,
anyway,
that might be.
I'm geology.
That's not a hill.
Anyway, you keep talking while I look. It looks like a hill to me, but.
But yeah, but I mean, maybe we're wrong. Maybe it's purely flat.
No, it's not, obviously it's not purely flat if there's hills, but go ahead.
I don't know if that's a hill.
A fall, but if there's falls, there's obviously a height.
It's going to be height something. So we are, you know, some of us love to live by the ocean. It's in our blood. Some of us do not like the ocean. We like the mountains. Some of us love the desert. When we are described according to locale, to geography, that's another way to define our karma, too, because we are basically speaking, even if we aren't in one lifetime, on a soul level, we're all nomads. We're traveling from one lifetime to another. P- people may argue and say, you know, well, we only have one lifetime and that's it. And this idea of reincarnation, I don't know if reincarnation is the proper term I would use as the journey of the soul and moving through life in terms of where our soul, it's always a uniform soul. The soul doesn't change, the body changes. We know the body changes because the body changes in time and space as we physically move through the planet. I just saw photographs of celebrities hugging the pictures of forms of themselves when they were younger. So a celebrity is embracing a form of themselves when they were like 7 or 8. And idea that we are not who we were. We're totally different from from the face we were and the body we were. We change. Now the soul changes too, in terms of intellect and maturity. But the soul, the body will be gone at death. The soul remains. So the soul is more uniformly defined as being in constant motion through
right,
time
because,
and space.
Because it's collecting all of the data from the lifetime that the person's living in. So it's always changing,
yeah.
Day to day. Everything that the soul experiences is collected within the soul. Or everything the body experiences is collected within the soul, I should say.
Yeah, and the soul, the content of the soul's is collecting data from the earth, but the content of the soul is still supposed to also be giving resource to the spirit so that the spirit can be enforceably positioned after death.
Five,
and there
six,
can be some substance.
Two, four, nine,
sorry
eight,
about that, everybody.
Three,
somehow on this phone, I pushed some buttons that cause the phone to announce the number every time, and I don't know how to change
it's
it.
It's obnoxious.
It's so annoying.
If I could find that lady, I would get karma immediately.
I can't believe I did that.
But
anyway, so back to the soul and the body and the connection to the spirit, the idea is that the body should be involved in activities, thoughts, actions that uplift the soul or that infuse the soul with higher energy so that it feeds the spirit and the body can eventually, you know, die and the soul transcends to the spirit rather than return to the planet. So if the body is involved in too many earthly activities throughout the lifetime or involved too much in the earth, it's going to return. The soul will return.
Yeah, some souls have a very limited resources. Some people just get through earth. They don't care about spiritual matters. It doesn't concern them. They care more about the immediacy of the planet, the earth. Their depth in life doesn't go that
but
deep.
But that can be a karmic situation. A person who is not, whose mind is not structured for spiritual thinking can be karmic.
Sure.
That
can
be
a
karmic.
Direct refusal to even delve into such things. But we all have souls. But some people don't even believe we have souls. We just think this is it. And life is you work and you play in the weekends and you have certain enjoyments and you look forward to vacations or activities or sports or going out to eat or drinking, going to a party. These are things that are important because they satisfy the body. And they satisfy the body and the mind on a purely physical, sensational plane. There may be some spiritual experience they have, a beautiful sunset, having a beer on a boat and looking at the waves.
This,
you know,
beer. Yeah. I don't know if you can have beer on a boat.
Some people
think that's a beer.
Yeah,
I know.
You know. This is the life. You know, catching marlin and drinking beer and just relaxing and then jumping up and trying to catch a fish. This is their life. This is what they find to be pleasurable. Now, according to the mind and the body, they're right. That's what it is. And they can't be faulted for that because clearly that's the definition. But as we move higher, just as we do in education, some of us are satisfied without an education. Some of us just want to graduate high school. Some get associates. Some get a bachelor's. Some get a master's, a PhD, doctorate. The higher you go, the broader your aspect of energy. Now, that doesn't mean that someone of low education can't be of high spirit. On the contrary, someone of low education can outdo anyone on a spiritual level. Just
yeah,
like someone
of
low education can outdo somebody on an economical
level. Right. There are many people who are highly educated that believe nothing in the spirit at all, especially when you get into the idea of people who are scientists and, you know, they're completely devoid of any type of spirituality because they base everything on data and statistics and the physical, you know.
Right. You know,
measurements.
It's weird because then we get into this idea of economics. So we have people who we define as self-made millionaires, people who have become millionaires, not because of their education, but because they self-made themselves into a commodity that has produced for themselves $1 million+. So they're self-made millionaires, as opposed to somebody who goes through college, they're a judge, or they're a politician, or they're a scientist, or a teacher, and they're not, they went through the course of life, but we don't clearly define them as being self-made.
Well, Bill
people,
Gates would be like a self-made person. I don't think he even went to college.
Yeah. These are people who have a certain energy level of the soul and the mind and the body and things like this, whereby their ideas or their ingenuity, their invention, their creativity have made them into millionaires. And this goes as well for artists. Oftentimes we equate this with artists in acting, music, art. Who was that guy, the black guy,
Basquiat?
Yeah, that you know, a street person.
I know that I just said who I just named him, Basquiat. But what's the point you're getting to about art?
Well, he didn't have an education per se, but he was a millionaire, and he made a lot of money, and he was renowned. Now he was ultimately destroyed.
Yeah, because he had drug addict.
Something. So there, you know, we have this idea that people are such odd combinations of dichotomy and contradiction, self-made into a millionaire and self-made into death. We tend to web the dynamics of our psyche together oftentimes into one pocket of energy that ultimately becomes fatal. And you have a positive and a negative. As we do in
science,
in math, the algebra, you
I was thinking
to
of the battery charge,
which is
ions, whatever. So science, math.
Right. But then we have negatives equal positives. Well, you can't go. You know, once you're down, you can only go up. But the idea that we can be self-made into the greatest people that we're potentially able to be, person we're able to be, is part of the dynamic, not just of karma, which can be self-induced or self-imposed or already conditioned by our past lives, but to the sense that within every human being there's a breath of transcendence. We get to transcend on some level, even if it means having to go through life with just pure karma we're dealing with. Ultimately, at the end of life, there's a grade. You turn it in. You turn the paper in, and you wait. That waiting period is in the astral realm. And the astral realm is the region in which many souls go awaiting the consequences
right.
of their life.
Unless unless there's sheer transcendence directly after the life expires, then
right.
there's no waiting period
right.
in that case. So if there's a waiting period, then there's less certainty about whether there's going to be a return or not.
Right.
Or what that return
but getting back to
will,
that, God is right. That's
could,
true.
Will,
in our
will,
world of thinking, getting back to that guy in the boat with the beer in his hand, who doesn't believe we're going anywhere after death. We're just dust. That's it. Enjoy life. Incorporate whatever ethics or morals you have or lack thereof and enjoy life. Do the best you can. Some people don't even regard it as that much. Why should you respect anybody? This world is for me. It's all about what I want. And I don't care about anybody else. Some people tend to be, there's such a wide variety of human consciousness that we can't define what a human being is. You know, if we say a human being is heart and passion, compassion, well, there are those who don't have it, and they're human beings. There's no definition of a human being except for the fact that we're Homo sapien, we have a certain DNA. But because we have these brains and minds and experiences that are varied, and no two experiences follow the same path, we can't really define what a human being is. We try, and realistically, we try to make it sound good, but it's not a definition that's clear. And of course, ambiguity started way back at the beginning of time in terms of what it is to be a human
being.
Well,
because it obviously varies according to every human being. It's not a uniform definition.
Right. Well, this gets into the idea of existentialism, wherein the human being is the God and they make the decisions and the universe is indifferent. There's no consciousness out there.
Well, that's part of the problem, I think, that we have in modern society is that human beings have become, or they think that they're gods. You know, you can see that by scrolling through Facebook.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. But then we have the question of moral, what is moral essence or moral ambiguity, and people like Camus who talked about the responsibility and the moral responsibility we have on an existential level. That is the question and the nature of what it is to be a human being devoid of God, devoid of spirit, or at least not the spirit of rebellion or the spirit of creation, but the spirit in terms of is there a God or not? Are we really created by this supreme being? And do we really have a soul aside from passion? And do we really have a spirit aside from God? Is there really just the spirit of inspiration, they would call it? They use these euphemisms, not really euphemisms, but replacements that are defined as specific topics pertaining to the metaphorical theme of spirit. So we have the spirit of amusement, the spirit of a creation, the spirit of invention, or we have the, when you get into religious aspects, the Holy Spirit. The spirit given to us by God that makes us very unique, that now our lives are predestined and designed by something higher, a higher force working, watching us, grading us, judging us, as opposed to our own sense of personal judgment. So when we get into these ideas, and then us as psychics, when we're asked questions about one's destiny, I mean, who are we to decipher what one's destiny is? We can only, by the grace of God, interpret what we feel might be an answer or a direction. But everything has to be done in a humble fashion, because woe to anyone who thinks they're God or thinks they are God or gets too cocky in their attitude.
If it's true that, you know, there is life after death and there is a higher order of judgment going on. Because those who think that you just die and there's nothing, then I guess being a god in their mind is there's no consequences.
Yeah. And then there's a more difficult dilemma. Well, there was a god, they wouldn't allow these things to happen on the planet. I don't believe in God. God wouldn't do this. What pleasure does God get in allowing humankind to destroy
suffer,
themselves
yeah.
and suffer and the things that we see? And fortunately, it's kind of a weak word, but we don't have to answer that. We don't have to stand behind God and give the answers. I don't know. You know, we can talk about the origins of evil and choice and the consequences of going against God or whatever it is that happened way back in time and space or whatever the original intention was. But I think that when the answer to an indifferent universe or to a world that's filled with violence is the answer to that is the droplet of human energy, kindness, compassion, those that are willing to prove that human beings are more than the evil that surrounds them. I think that's what makes a human being a significant energy field on the planet. So those of us who get out of our comfort zone and help others, help human beings, help animals, help the earth, that fight for something, even those that go in and preach and try to go bring consciousness to a higher level, I think these are people of great value. Psychics are just not supposed to be here to say, oh yeah, you're going to get that house on Monday. Oh yeah, you'll move to New York on Sunday. We're here to also supply, if we are of good wit and quality of mind, to counsel, to represent something that's higher and
right.
to always give that impression that we are not the answer. We don't have the answers. We have the guidance. And by the grace of God, we might have the right answer in the course of guiding one and being of counsel to people.
Right. Well, and it's challenging. I mean, there's a balance between providing that spiritual guidance and then answering the questions that people have, usually which are composed of content of about what the earth plane is going to bring them or, you know, give them. So
yeah, the emotional space of existence on the planet is seriously considered by us. I mean, when people call about their relationships, they're in trouble, they don't feel love, they don't know what's happening, all of these things are considerably important because they are in the range of emotion. And these are things that can't be of small significance either. So it doesn't mean that every question has to have the ponderance of what is the meaning of life, as much as a question can be asked, can I be happy? Where is my life going? How can I be happier? What is going on? And that everything's of great importance to us.
Okay. Including closing down the show for the day because we are about to get our 90-second warning. So we will be back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. I'm surprised we didn't get more callers because according to my laptop information, when I went to the homepage, the spirituality homepage, we showed as live. So we'll see what happens next time. We're going to start early again. Hope for the best. We hope to hear from you on Friday again. 9 a.m. Eastern. Bye-bye.